Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Thank you for this outpouring of support on this Giving Tuesday, one day devoted to helping nonprofits across the country and around the world, and our appreciation for your show of support. If you've done so today for KPECC, you can do that at 866-888-5722 or click and join or up your membership. Make an additional gift at kpecc.org on this special Giving Tuesday. A little bit later this hour, we're going to talk about what listeners have done to create better workspaces at home, whether it's a little nook in the apartment where you live to make it work for ergonomically or efficiently be able to do your work, or whether you're someone who has the luxury of a designated room that you use as an office. What have you done to make a more productive work environment? Share that with your fellow listeners. So often we open up the lines to listeners to call in, and we get all these great calls at the end, and we can't accommodate all of them. So I want to remind you to call early in the segment. I want those great calls right up front. That's later this hour here on Air Talk. But right now, we're joined by KPECC public safety correspondent Frank Stoltz to talk about the Los Angeles County Coroner's inquest into the fatal shooting by a sheriff's deputy of an 18-year-old unlicensed security guard in Gardena. Andres Guardado was shot and killed in June, and the coroner's office holding an inquest, an extremely rare event, to try to get to the bottom of what happened. Frank, thank you so much for joining us today. Share with us what came up at the inquest.
Well, I think the headline is that the sheriff's deputies involved in the shooting, the one deputy and his partner, and two of the detectives who are investigating the shooting refused to testify. So it was a bit of an anticlimactic day because, of course, much anticipated. We rarely hear, deputies or police officers who are involved in a shooting, testify publicly about what happened. Deputy Miguel Vega had been subpoenaed to testify. He was the deputy who shot Andres Guardado. His attorney sent word to the inquest that Vega was out of the country and that when he came back, that he would not testify, that he would plead the fifth. And his partner, Deputy Chris Hernandez, submitted a partial declaration in response to a subpoena, then submitted another declaration saying he would plead the fifth. I should note that it doesn't necessarily mean that neither of them will testify. The presiding officer, Justice Candace Cooper, a retired appeals court judge, wasn't sure that Vega was entitled to invoke the fifth and not answer any questions. And she said that his partner, Hernandez, may have given up his Fifth Amendment right when he issued the initial partial declaration. It might be understood, Larry, that the shooting deputy and his partner plead the fifth. But as I mentioned at the top, the two detectives or two of the detectives involved in the investigation also pleaded the fifth.
You anticipated my follow-up to you, Frank, because what would the reason be for the investigating sheriff's detectives be for taking the fifth? Because their actions wouldn't seem to be under question here. They're the investigators of the shooting. They didn't respond to the call that night. They weren't involved in the shooting of Guardado.
That's right. And so what's going on here? Are they being super careful, worried that they may get caught up in an inquiry that might unfairly target them? Sheriff Alex Villanueva has called the inquest a circus stunt, but the department says he did not order the deputies and the detectives to clam up. Two questions to Detective Valencia by one of the examiners, Deputy County Counsel Michael Miller, raised the specter that there may be problems within the sheriff's department's investigation. He was asked if his current supervisor or any previous supervisor ever informed him that he's under investigation, that he is under investigation for any reason in connection with the Guardado killing. And he was asked whether anyone he had worked with on the inquiry had been removed from the investigation. Of course, Valencia refused to answer those questions. But the refusal is important, Larry, because this inquest is as much about shedding light on how well sheriff's detectives investigate deputy shootings as it is in determining exactly what happened with the Guardado shooting.
Frank, let's go back. For those that haven't heard yours and others' ongoing coverage of this shooting that happened back in June and why it was such a controversial shooting by a sheriff's deputy, set the scene, if you will, that night and what the response was about.
Well, first and foremost, this happened about three and a half weeks after the George Floyd killing. So it happened in a very charged atmosphere. Two deputies were going down West Redondo Beach Boulevard. This is just west of Compton, right near the 110 freeway there. And they say they spotted Guardado on the sidewalk talking to a couple of girls in a car. They saw a gun in his waistband, and they got out and chased him down this very narrow driveway between this auto body shop and another shop next door. And, you know, all the department, it was interesting. All the department says is that a deputy involved shooting occurred. The deputy's attorney, after the release of a autopsy that found that Guardado was shot five times in the back, released a statement saying that the deputy says that Guardado complied with orders to get down on the ground and put the gun down, but that once he was face down, reached out for the gun, and that's when he fired. An unusual circumstance. You don't often hear about a suspect with a gun complying and then reaching for the gun once he sets it down.
We should mention Guardado as well was a community college student and worked a couple of jobs, as I understand, Frank, including as a security guard. Now, he wasn't licensed. He's only 18, and so he wouldn't be able to get licensed to carry a firearm as a part of his job like that. So, you know, technically, what he was doing was not sanctioned, but someone who had two jobs he was doing to support himself to go through college. This, to my knowledge, was not someone with any sort of a criminal background or posed any threat to law enforcement previously.
Yeah, and dozens of friends. I went out to the shooting site the next day, and dozens of friends were out there. Toxicology reports found that he had no drugs in him. He had no criminal record. The fact that he was shot in the back has raised a lot of questions. And the fact that he, you know, is a person that, you know, has no indication of a criminal background. You know, this, of course, also occurs in the context of, you know, many county officials losing faith in Sheriff Alex Villanueva, you know, who has resisted oversight by the inspector general. So this inquest came in part as a result of the George Floyd protests and calls for greater transparency and accountability, but also because of a loss of faith by some in the sheriff and how he's running the department.
KPCC public safety correspondent Frank Stoltz joining us, talking about yesterday's coroner's inquest, which is a hearing to determine the facts surrounding the death of someone for whom the coroner has responsibility to determine that. In this case, it's 18-year-old Andres Guardado was shot and killed by a sheriff's deputy in mid-June, and that killing has been highly questioned in the intervening months. Frank, of course, many of us are familiar with the Ruben Salazar inquest that was held and, in fact, was televised by Los Angeles stations as it occurred to try and determine the circumstances surrounding the L.A. County Sheriff's Department firing of tear gas canisters into a bar in East Los Angeles where Salazar was sitting at the bar having a drink. The canister hit him in the head and killed him. This day when protests were taking place just down the street. How rare is it for the coroner's office to have an inquest?
Well, extremely rare. It's been nearly 40 years since the last inquest. There are some notable differences about this inquest from past inquests that happened so long ago. The biggest one is that there's no jury. An inquest can happen with a presiding officer who basically makes the determination on her own about the nature of the death. Once again, remember that the judge in this case will not determine culpability or, criminality, but really just the manner and circumstances of the death. Important, but it's not a court of law. In any case, there is no jury as there was in, as there was in Ruben Salazar and also in the Ron Settles case down in Signal Hill. So she alone will decide, what happens here. And she's going to make a few key decisions here coming out of just this one day of the inquest. It's postponed indefinitely. She'll decide when it happened, when it resumes, reconvenes. But she will decide. She got a packet of sealed documents from the sheriff's department. So she says she is now going to look at that packet. She's going to consult with county counsel about whether or not she can force the shooting deputy to testify and his partner and the two detectives. So she alone will make those decisions in the coming days, maybe week or two, and then reconvene the inquest or not. There's a chance she wouldn't. She's now the person to watch.
Well, Frank, you may have said this and I might have missed it. Did Sheriff Villanueva attend?
He did not attend. Again, he's called this inquest a circus stunt. He thinks that it's part of the Board of Supervisors' proxy war, as he calls it, against him that began right when he got elected, when he tried to hire a deputy who had been fired for domestic violence allegations. So he sees this as the part of the long running war against him. But again, the department says that he did not order the deputies to not testify.
Hugo asks a good question on the page, which I certainly can't answer. I just don't have enough legal knowledge here. Frank, on the chance you might know, Hugo asks, what is the difference in legal exposure or liability for an officer testifying at a coroner's inquest versus testifying in front of a grand jury? To your knowledge, would there be any difference in that, Frank?
Well, if he's compelled to testify, that cannot be used against him in a court of law. So, you can't force somebody to, self-incriminate, which is why we see all this Fifth Amendment here. There's one other thing I want to bring up, Larry, real quickly. In a potentially, what I would say is a potentially significant development, a coroner's investigator who was sent to the scene the night Guardado was killed, she testified that Detective Dave, one of the detectives, told her something different than what the shooting deputy's attorney has described. And what she said was that the detective told her that Guardado reached for his waistband, which led to the deputy shooting. The deputy's attorney has said that he had set the gun down and reached for the gun while it was on the ground. Potentially a significant difference. And given some of the questions that seems to have been raised around how this investigation was being conducted, I think, we should pay attention.
Yeah. And I assume there's no footage of this to show what happened aside from those involved testifying.
That's right. Sheriff's deputies, the sheriff's department, one of the last big city departments in the country to get body cams and just started putting them on a limited number last month. And the video from the shop, the shop has a kind of a questionable history, according to the sheriff's department. There had been a shooting there a few weeks previous. There had been drug busts there previously. So, of course, the department is saying that, look, when the deputies came up to this location, they were on red alert, essentially. That's part of, I think, the context they're trying to provide around the shooting.
Frank, thank you so much. Appreciate your describing what went on yesterday with the Los Angeles County Coroner's inquest into the deputy fatal shooting of 18-year-old Andres Guardado back in June. And the deputy who shot and killed Guardado, that deputy's partner, as well as the two investigating detectives who arrived on the scene, none of them agreed to testify in that inquest, that hearing yesterday. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Coming right up, we're going to take a look at COVID-19 vaccination of teenagers, and should teens who want to get a vaccine be able to get one even if their parents are opposed? We'll talk about the legal and ethical issues raised in just 1 minute.